Darlings are traveling tonight as well. Father, in some ways, I guess this is the reason I preach this. Lord, with just a lot going on, I pray You'd help us stay focused, Lord. Remind us what we have. Also, though, Lord, prudence is necessary, which reminds us of what we could lose. And I pray You'd help us to fervently and ardently take care of our business before Thee. And as we sang, Nearer My God to Thee, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so you got a goodly heritage. It does say, as a statement about human nature in verse 18 of Proverbs 14, it says there, the first four words particularly right now, it says the simple inherit folly. Now, that's a statement of fact. That's a statement of basically a general rule of how things go. It's how things work as a rule, just a general overall take on things. It's not really a condemnation. It's just a statement of how things kind of go. It's like saying teenagers get zits. Generally, it's true. There are some exceptions, but generally, it's true. It's like saying people that come from a broken home have a harder time. And that's true, too. There are exceptions, but it's true. It says, the simple inherit folly. Now, we need to look for a few minutes at definitions of a couple of those words because it's important. First of all, the simple inherit folly. I want you to think about folly for a minute. You need a biblical grasp of folly. This is not the ice follies, by the way. This is folly. To give you a concept, this is the category of sin that God called the rape of Dinah in Genesis 34. This is a category of sins where a damsel in Deuteronomy 22 is discovered to not be a maid. She has wrought folly, the Bible says. What Achan committed in Joshua chapter 7 was called folly. It's what the men of Gibeah sought to do to that Levite's to that Levite as he went back to retrieve his wife. It's what Amnon did to Tamar. It was folly. And it's what the fallen angels were charged with in Job 4. The Lord charged them with folly. Now, I say that because, you know, folly doesn't sound too bad. It's kind of like mischief. It's kind of like, oh, naughty. But in the Bible, naughty is really bad. And mischief is even worse. And so I just wanted to point that out to you. Look in Proverbs 17 real quick. I'll give you an illustration, a Bible illustration of it. I wanted you to see that when the Bible says the simple inherit folly, I'm talking here about a simple man, a child, a young man, somebody that's naive, somebody that's gullible, who get themselves off in way more deep trouble than they ever imagined. For instance, in Proverbs 17, verse 12, you have a verse here that says, let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. Now, anybody here that's a hunter that's ever hiked through Yellowstone knows that you really don't want to meet a bear on a trail that has been robbed of her whelps. Because you may have seen some pictures, you probably read some stories about what a bear can do to a man that's been robbed of her whelps. Now, the Bible says it's better for a man to run into that than to run into a fool and his folly. Okay? That's a remarkable thing to stop and think about. You don't want to go to folly, and you don't want to spend any time around those in folly. Because they're worse than hanging around a bear that's ready to maul you. Now, with that said, we've looked at folly. I'd like you to look at the simple here for just a second. In chapter 14 again, chapter 14, verse 18, it says, the simple inherit folly. So let's make sure we understand what the simple are. Well, the simple in verse 15, chapter 14, verse 15, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A simple man is a naive man. He's probably young. He's probably gullible, that sort of thing. He may be a child. Chapter 7, verse 7, I'd have you look there. This can be a young man who just doesn't have a lot of experience yet. And obviously this goes for a young woman as well. But it's basically a naive person, a gullible person, somebody that's green, somebody that's raw, somebody that's wet behind the ears, doesn't have a lot of experience, has not had the opportunity to have their senses exercised to good and evil. It says in Proverbs 7:7, for instance, I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Okay, so the simple inherit folly. The simple is a naive, kind of gullible type person. It can happen, of course, in adults, but it can be a kid leaving home for the first time. I'm not picking on Rachel here tonight at all, but it can be that. It can be a thing with somebody that just got saved and does not have any experience spiritually yet. It can be someone who's had very little experience in the world. It can be somebody who, for instance, thinks that Mardi Gras is just a big grand parade. Well, it's much more than that, right? It can be somebody who, a freshman that goes off to college, he's bought all the college tripe and has bought into the fraternity brothers baloney, and he goes off with these ideological ideas thinking every professor's his friend. That's not true. He's simple. He's really, really simple. It's a kid who may have believed in Santa till way too late in his life. I believed in Santa till I was 12. I guess I was simple. Mainly I was just mad because I wasn't going to get any goodies anymore. But anyway. So the simple, though, inherit folly. Now, that statement, again, is basically stated as a natural condition and consequence. It's kind of how things go. And so you've seen this in life. You've seen that drunks tend to beget drunks. You've seen that dopers tend to beget dopers. That wife beaters and wives beaten tend to beget wife beaters and other wives that are beaten. It's the strangest, one of the strangest, spookiest things you've ever seen. It's where sodomy gradually becomes acceptable in the society. That's simplicity. It's somebody being so naive that they think because it's love that all love's good. It's that. It's simplicity. It is what natural man inclines to. It's what an unwary, non-vigilant Christian is inclined to. The simple tend toward inheriting folly because we're all fools at heart. So with that said, I say all that in contrast to the fact that we have a goodly heritage. God intends for us to all inherit a goodly heritage. There's a major danger, and the danger is that the simple inherit folly. So I want to talk to you tonight on the subject of avoiding a defiled heritage. This is going to be kind of a linked word study here. I'm going to turn to a bunch of verses fast, and hopefully you can go along with me. It's not going to take real long, I don't think. Let me begin here. Go back, if you would. We're going to be in Proverbs most of the night, but look in Psalm 49, if you would. I'm going to start here linking the fools, or rather the simple, rather, and the folly, and then you'll see where this goes soon enough. Psalm 49, go down, if you would, to verse 11. Again, talking in verse 10 about the fool, the brutish person. He says, their inward thought in verse 11 is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. That's how brutish, foolish men tend to think. It says, nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. But then it says, but their way is their folly. Now remember, the simple inherit folly. Well, their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. That is saying that parents and grandparents are off in folly. And since the simple inherit folly because they believe their parents and follow after their footsteps, the posterity tends to inherit the folly. So I would begin with parents. Parents lead to posterity, the next generation. But it's not just parents, because, I mean, it is parents. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. But it's not just parents, because everybody here that's a junior or a senior or a sophomore or a freshman has effect to friends that are beneath in junior high and grade school. So it's not just, it's sometimes just older friends. But the Bible says there that their posterity follow in their steps. The simple inherit folly. You will affect the next generation. I don't care how old you are. If you're a parent, fine. If you're a grandparent, fine. But if you're a friend, if you're a senior in high school, young college adult, that sort of thing, that age, or if you're just a freshman in high school, your friends from junior high are still going to look to you, and you will have an effect in their life. Your posterity will carry forward something with you. And just remember, the simple inherit folly. And these folks passed on their folly to their posterity. Now, with that said, I would like to offer you some pretty positive things here. I'd say, first of all, aspire to be prudent. Look here in your Bibles in Proverbs chapter 14 again. Again, our text, Proverbs 14, 18. Notice the simple inherit folly, that's the main focus. But notice that it's the converse of the simple. Notice that the simple is contrasted in verse 18 with, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Well, obviously in that verse, you don't want to be simple. The simple inherit folly. What you want to be is prudent. So I'm looking at prudence here for a minute. What you need to desire to be is prudent. What you ought to aspire to be is prudent. I know you want to be the next Michael Jordan. It's not going to work out for you. It's just not going to work. What you should aspire to be, if you believe the Bible, regarding these things, if you don't want to inherit folly, don't forget what folly is in the Bible. If you don't want to inherit folly and get dragged into other men's sins, and mistakes get intermingled and intertwined with other people's reaping and sowing, then what you should aspire to be is prudent. For instance, chapter 14, verse 15, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. What you should be aspiring to be instead of a CEO at 35, or instead of making Major League Baseball, or making the All-Star game, what you should be aspiring to do is be prudent. Anybody here can be prudent. Look in chapter 14, verse 8. It's amazing how many times in the Bible the simple man, the foolish man in folly, is compared in contrast with the prudent. Look in Proverbs 14, verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly, there it is again, of fools is deceit. The wisdom of a prudent man is to understand his way. Look in chapter 13, verse 16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. What you should be aspiring to be is prudent. Now, prudence sounds really lame to a generation of people, you know, starting with me who aspired to be Major League Baseball players and our favorite football player and our favorite singer and our favorite movie actor and all that kind of stuff. And for a generation today who has even worse people to aspire to be, it sounds really lame to say what you should labor for in life is to be prudent. But what does the Bible say? It doesn't sound very idealistic, doesn't sound very, very high-flying. But prudence is a good thing, brethren. It keeps you out of folly. It's the opposite of being simple, right? Don't forget the reason the Bible, that Proverbs was written. It was to give a simple man subtlety. It was to grant prudence to the simple. Look, if you will, at the next thing I'd like to point out to you. And again, we're going to hit some of the same verses here for a second. I would advise you this, reading chapter 14, verse 18. The simple, again, inherit folly. They tend that way. It's the way things go. It's like teenagers get zits. The simple inherit folly. It's the way things are. And it goes on to say, but the prudent are crowned, notice, with knowledge. Again, I take you back to 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Notice the wisdom of the prudent. knowledge was spoken of in chapter 14, verse 18. Go to chapter 13, verse 16 again. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. Look at yet another, chapter 18, verse 15. 18, 15. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. So, having covered those verses, I would say to you, don't turn your back on wisdom and knowledge. Now, I'm not talking about the wisdom of the world. I'm not talking about the wisdom of the devil. Okay, I'm talking about grow in grace and knowledge. I'm talking about the wisdom and knowledge that comes from the Bible, that comes from the Lord. Look in chapter 8, verse 12. Don't turn your back on wisdom and knowledge. Chapter 8, verse 12. We've commented before on how very little Bible is understood anymore, often by Christians of mature years, but they're not of very mature spirit. It's a sad thing that some folks who have spent their entire lives in church and are saved really know very little of God and really understand and are wise in very few things that are spiritual. It's really a sad thing. Look in Proverbs chapter 8, that ought not be you. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Now, this started out with the simple inherit folly. The opposite of the simple is a prudent man. So we're looking at prudence here for a second. And what continues to arise with a prudent man is that he has wisdom. He is connected with knowledge. Chapter 8, verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Look in chapter 15, verse 5. Yeah, you're going to have to work for it tonight. Chapter 15, verse 5 says, there a fool despiseth his father's instruction, and he that regardeth reproof is prudent. That's a new thing that's introduced to the idea here, that he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Now, you know what reproof is. In case you don't, look in chapter 6, verse 23. Reproof is very important. For a Christianity that no longer has any appreciation whatsoever for anything but positive stuff, reproof just doesn't fit, because reproof is a balling out. Reproof is being corrected. When you got an X on your paper in English and grammar or math or whatever when you were in school, if you went to school early enough, well, that was a reproof, because that red mark was a shame. That's wrong! Wrong, wrong, wrong. And if you turned it into something pink, well, maybe it would be something different. But no, it was wrong. It's reproof. Look in Proverbs chapter 6. Go down to verse 23 and notice. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now, again, this started out with the simple inherit folly. Naive, gullible people. The opposite of the simple is prudent. One of the marks of prudence is wisdom and knowledge. One of the marks of prudence is it accepts reproof. Now, with that said, I have said this point is, don't turn your back on wisdom and knowledge. Let me show you the verse. Proverbs 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge, did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despise, notice, all my what? Reproof. Reproof. Being corrected. You're wrong. They despised it. Verse 31. Therefore, shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple. There's the simple guy. The turning away of the simple shall slay them. You turn your back on wisdom and knowledge, you turn your back on the reproof that comes with it, you're asking to be killed. It says that the turning away of the simple shall slay them. Don't turn away from wisdom and knowledge. Don't turn away from the reproof that comes with it. It's part of it. No, you're wrong on this algebra problem. It's wrong. I'm going to give you a D if you don't correct it. You need that. Verse 32. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But it says there, the turning away of the simple shall slay them. If you're not going to be simple, if you want a goodly heritage, then you need to learn to stick with wisdom and knowledge. Don't turn your back on it, and don't turn your back on the reproofs that come with it. Look at something else along this line. I can give you another thing. I need to take you back again to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, everything kind of flows out of this tonight. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 8. And here's a connection that I've grown to love more and more in recent days. Proverbs 14, notice verse 8. Remembering that we started with the simple inherit folly. And folly is really bad. But the simple inherit folly. Okay, verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is the opposite of the simple. It says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Notice, understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. He understands his way. Look in chapter 15, verse 21. He understands his way. The prudent man understands. 15:21. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Well, again, the man of understanding is a prudent man. He's not simple. But he's a man of understanding. Just take note of that. Chapter 16, verse 22. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. But the instruction of fools is folly. And there's that folly again. But this understanding dwells in the bosom of a prudent man. Where did he get that from? One more, chapter 14, verse 33. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. Oh boy, there it is. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Okay, wisdom resteth in the heart of somebody with understanding. Okay, what is understanding? I've come to view this verse just about every time I think about understanding in the Word of God. Take your Bibles, turn to Job 32. Job 32. Now, it's not the only verse on understanding, but it tells you something about it. Job 32, verse 8. Job 32, verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Now, the simple inherit folly. Folly's really bad. The opposite of a simple man is a prudent man. The prudent man deals in true wisdom and true knowledge. He does not turn his back on the reproofs that come from it. And one thing that dwells in his heart is understanding. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. It's not inspiration in the sense of writing new Scripture. It is God giving me light and God giving me illumination and showing me He inspires something in me so I can understand. Well, I just want to say with that, you need to lend ear to the Lord. Okay? By lending ear, I mean reading the Bible, yes, but I mean getting preaching and getting teaching. You get understanding because God giveth inspiration, and through that inspiration He giveth understanding. You need to listen to God. The simple man hears all these things and he accepts some things as knowledgeable, but he never really understands because he never listens to the Lord trying to show him something out of it. Lend ear to the Lord. How about this? There's another connection. Look, if you will, back to Psalms 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 130. The simple inherit folly. They just go like cattle off the edge of a cliff. They just meander and wander and just, you know, one after another falls off the edge. They just inherit by nature. They just tread the path. They just go that way. Their nature leads them that way. It's just the way things are. It's just a general truth. Teenagers get zits, and the simple inherit folly. It's just the way things go. And you need to labor not to be simple, because you don't want to go where the folly is. I'll tell you that right now. Look in your Bibles in Psalm 119 and 130. And this connects with understanding. We started with the simple and folly. Then we went to the prudent. And the prudent gets wisdom and knowledge. And with wisdom and knowledge comes reproof. And with that comes understanding. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth understanding. And here we are. 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. We know what those words are. It's the Word of God, right? It giveth understanding to the simple. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. You need that Bible to get understanding, to understand reproof, to understand what wisdom and knowledge is, to understand what prudence is, to understand what the plight of the fool and the simple is, to understand how sorry is that folly. It says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Look in a nearby verse, Psalm 119, 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. And don't forget, Job 32:8, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth understanding. Man, folks, you hold a book that God wrote. You hold a book that God gave you to give you understanding and light. Look in Psalm 119:99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Go off to college, and I'll guarantee you this, the scriptures are not the meditation of those professors. And you'll be wiser than them if you meditate on the scriptures. You'll be wiser than them. One last verse here, chapter 119, 144. It says, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth understanding. Okay, there's another admonition I can give you along this way, this line with the connection of understanding with the prudent. Let me look at something else with the prudent. Job 28. And notice what else it says about understanding. It's understanding that marks the prudent man apart from other men. And don't forget, the prudent man is the opposite of the simple, and the simple inherit folly. And that's not what you need. Job 28:28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. To depart from evil is understanding. I would say this, stay away from sin. Go back to Proverbs 5, where we go back to the simple for a second. Proverbs chapter 5. And we're getting close to the end, but it's going to take just another few minutes. Proverbs chapter 5, if you'd go down towards the end of the passage, it says, for instance, in verse 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities, a man's own iniquities, shall take the wicked himself. He shall be holden with the cords of his sin. If you've forgotten, sin is binding. It really does. And it says in verse 23, he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly. There's that folly. Don't forget what defined folly. You can wind up deeper than you thought you'd go. A lot of people do. A lot of people have. And it says, in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Stay away from sin. It's one of the simplest things around. Stay away from sin. In fact, there's another thing along that line, Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. And notice what it says here, like this, Proverbs 26, verse 11. Again, I've kind of become the livestock guy. I'm always preaching on camels and oxen and stuff. And so here we have another farm scene. It says in verse 11, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth where? To his folly. Well, the simple inherit folly. So you got rid of something that was hurting you. And then you come back to it. Wallow in it, taste it, and eat it. Who hasn't seen a dog do that? Yeah, yeah. Why? Because they're dogs. And you know why you wind up in trouble? Because you're simple. Because the simple inherit folly. It's in your nature, just like it's in the dog's nature, to eat his own puke. Now, I know that's very poetic and very positive, but I'm just saying. Don't go back. There's another thing I can add to it, just, and we'll wrap it up here pretty quick. Proverbs chapter 14. This all started with a simple inherit folly. And out of that, we viewed the prudent and what marked the prudent. And we are kind of continuing from there. Proverbs chapter 14, once again. Proverbs chapter 14, this time verse 29. Proverbs 14 and verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. There's that understanding of the prudent again, that apparently the Lord inspires in man. It says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth what? Folly. There it is again. I admonish you, don't be hasty. There's not that many things in life that have to be decided upon and acted upon right now when you're presented them. There's not that many decisions in life. Now, Christ is one. Salvation's one. That should happen at earliest possible moment, right? But there are not that many life-changing decisions that have to be acted upon right this moment. Usually, in major things, you have time to pray, if you will. You have time to fast, if you will. You have time to seek the Lord's mind, if you will. You have time to evaluate. That's prudence. And the hasty in spirit exalteth folly. You're asking for trouble. The simple inherit folly, and the hasty exalteth folly. And the two go together. Look at yet another passage along this line, chapter 18, verse 13. Chapter 18, 13, Proverbs. And you don't find haste in the verse, but he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame to him. That guy's hastening to answer because he's probably mad. He's probably confused, and he just wants to bite back. Well, he exalts folly. It says there that it is a folly and a shame unto him. And one more along this line, 21, Proverbs 21. And notice verse 5. Don't be hasty. Learn patience. Learn to pray first. Learn to wait. Learn to evaluate first. Now, if it's a matter of getting out of the road before the truck hits you, well, move now. If it's a matter of getting saved, if it's a matter of walking away from sin, do that now. Do that immediately. But as far as most life-changing decisions, you have time to pray. And you need to exhibit a lack of haste. You need to exhibit patience. Look in Proverbs 21 and verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. The simple inherit folly. They wind up in folly because they're simple. They wind up in folly in part because they're hasty. Look at just a couple other things real fast. I can tell you this, Proverbs 19. You should learn from somebody else's whipping. Proverbs 19 and verse 25. Verse 25, it is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry, that's not what I wanted. I'm in the wrong chapter. Yes, I am. I'm sorry. I've done that twice today. Sorry about that. 19:25. There it is. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. Remember the simple guy? The simple inherit folly. Well, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, he will understand knowledge. I would advise you to learn a lesson from somebody else's whipping. Look in chapter 21, verse 11, along the same lines. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. When the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. Now, sometimes it's hard to determine in life, whether somebody else you're looking at is getting a whipping from the Lord or if it's the devil or what. And you can't always tell. But I tell you what you have. You have a book in your lap that takes one man and one woman after another. You start with Adam and Eve. You start with Cain and Abel. You go on to Noah. You go on to Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You go on to Abraham. And on down the line through Moses and all the guys, all the patriarchs, all the guys of the Bible. And for a lot of those guys, you get a chance to view God dealing with them and chastening them and punishing them and giving them a whipping. Those scriptures are given for our admonition and comfort. We're supposed to learn from somebody else's whipping they got in the Word of God. Man, David got a whipping in Psalm 51. You ought not go down that path. You ought to be able to learn and see David's misery and watch him as he bewails Absalom. Absalom, my son, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son. Boy, you ought to be able to, it ought to appeal to your heart how bereft and filled with sorrow and regret David was in that thing, and you ought never to go there because you ought to learn from somebody else's whipping. A prudent man would. The simple wouldn't because the simple inherit folly. Gives away his inheritance. And so his heritage is not as good as it should have been. Okay, there's just one other couple of things I'd like you to see. One other couple of things. Now, that's a preacher. One other couple of things. Chapter 22, verse 3. Notice that, and we're back to the prudent. Notice that a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The simple inherit folly. Doop de doop de doop doop. Goes right off and walks right off the edge of the bridge, man. Busts himself up. But it says there that the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. I would just say this in closing. Don't just look. Foresee. The Bible is given to you as a book of prophecy. And I'm not talking about exotic prophetical stuff necessarily. I'm talking also about personal stuff. If I continue down this road, this is going to happen. The Bible says so. Don't just look. Foresee. Look at one more verse. 27:12. 27:12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now, I spoke, was it last week, on Solomon out of Ecclesiastes and vanity of vanity, all is vanity and stuff. I would just show you here a foolish man one more time. Having gone through what we've gone through here, notice, for instance, Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And here's a man that got involved in stuff he had no business in. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 17. This is a guy that went way too far. I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness. And what? Folly. Now, wisdom is supposed to deliver you from folly. Being prudent is supposed to deliver you from folly. Solomon went chasing folly. That's stupid. And chapter 2, verse 3. I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine. Dumb, dumb, dumb. Yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom and to lay hold on folly. Stupid, stupid, stupid. He was one of the most stupid wise men that ever lived. Because he went chasing the thing that his wisdom was supposed to deliver him from. The simple inherit folly. A wise man doesn't inherit it if he's prudent. But be warned, the nature of things is teenagers get zits. And the simple inherit folly. And you have to swim against the current to get out of that trap. Alrighty, let's pray. Now, Father, once again, we're glad to come. And Lord, in this case, I'll bow my knee to the wisdom of this book. And how things are put together in a way, Lord, that if you seek them, dig them out just a little bit, Father, it falls open in your lap. Pray it's been a help here to not only young men and young women who are entering life and perhaps, again, going off for the first time somewhere or that sort of thing. First time in love, first time in all kinds of things when you're young. But also, Father, for many of us that are older, for the things that we've seen and a reminder that we should not go back to folly. It is a danger. The simple inherit folly, and folly can be a terrible, terrible thing. I pray, Lord, you'd please bless, give us a few moments of introspection here, Father. May you deal with each and every heart in Jesus' name. Let's remain with our heads bowed and our eyes closed here for a sec. The Lord spoke to you tonight. Hope you'll come. Let's look this way and sing number 333. 333.
Thank you. insist on singing one a cappella. Let's start with verse 1 again. Ready? A cappella. Verse 1. Ready? See, y'all are laughing enough. Okay. Maybe we should wait on this. You ready?
May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day. By His love and power controlling all I do and say.
Yes! All right. Y'all be seated. Paisley, if you could go rescue the hoggers here.